comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. Take a look at our website, kevinsmithshow.com. Take a look at that. Scroll down. Take a look at the survival meter. Now, I bring this up because we have some wonderful folks who are really doing yeoman duty helping us to continue. But we've got lots of listeners around the world. And, you know, if every listener were to donate $1, we would have enough money for the year. But just this many. Just this many folks support the show financially so that everybody else can listen. We're not going to make it unless the trend changes. So take a look at the survival meter and ask yourself, is it worth $1, $2, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever you got? If it's not, then it's not. And, you know, we some months it's a lot easier than it is other months. This month, what's happened, of course, is tons and tons of people are out of work and now have run, many of them, run out of their unemployment benefits. And so the financial support has dropped dramatically. And, you know, if you want us to continue, you got to do something. If you don't want us to continue, we accept the verdict. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. Now, the free weekly newsletter is truly free. I don't speak in Washington, D.C. speak here. When I say it's free, it's free. There are no strings attached. Okay, it's not like those Washington, D.C. deals where they're going to give you dollars, but they're dollars that they already took from you, and then they're going to tax you on them again. We don't do that. We use real English, and free means free. So there's really no genius in not getting the K-Files. You need to be getting the K-Files. And if you take about 10 seconds, you can subscribe. You simply go to my website, and the website is kevinsmithshow.com. Look on there where it says K-Files. Click that and subscribe, all right? And while you're there, there's a new feature. We've had it before, but it's been years. I put it back on. It's called your Daily Kevinism. So if you click on that, you'll get a Daily Kevinism, a randomly selected Kevinism for today, and it'll help you get through the day. It is, of course, absolutely seething with wisdom, so you want to be sure you click that and check that out. We'll be back with my guest, Jeff Woolline, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And let me just say before we bring our guest, Jeff Woolline, on with us this evening, I'm continuing to get emails from our people who are members, absolutely rave reviews for the new members area. And so if you're not a member, you ought to join tonight. It'll cost you the grand total of 23 cents a day. That's $6.95 a month, and you have access to everything. All right. My guest is not a stranger to any of you. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, he's been with me on this show many times, Jeff Woolline, and I'm delighted he's back with us again this evening. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. Always an honor to be here.
Jeff, I think people know you primarily from UFOs and South Mountain, but you haven't looked just at South Mountain. You've really looked at all of this whole valley that we're in, haven't you?
Oh, that's right. I've taken a look at the White Tank Mountains. Especially the I'm kind of interested in the Superstition Mountains also. There's a legend out there I'd like to take a look at, but its majority of where I see most of these UFOs at is the South Mountain area.
There is on YouTube a recent video, I forget where it was taken, some other place here in the United States, I think. And it's UFOs coming and going from a mountain. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, back when Jeff first started talking about this, he took a lot of ridicule, and people said, "Nah, that's he's faking it. It's a lot of nonsense." And now these videos are coming from all over the world and other places here in the United States as well, showing these UFOs are lights that fly, whatever they are. They're UF something, unknown flying somethings. And they just come out of a side of a mountain and take to the air. And so, you know, what was pretty much just Jeff Woolline talking about it, now there are other people that are observing it in other places and videotaping it, and it must feel pretty good to sort of be vindicated.
Well, yeah, it does, Kevin. And, you know, I have been checking out YouTube a lot within these last 3 to 5 years, and it seems like, you know, the majority of these things has been seen not only here in Arizona, but throughout the United States. It seems New York is getting a lot of them lately. It seems like these white orbs of fleet are popping up almost on a monthly basis out there. And, of course, Mexico is a hot place for these UFOs. And Jaime Maussan refers to these things as creatures. And in watching these things and studying them for so many years, you know, I tend to agree on this. This is another life form here that we're dealing with.
And speaking of Jaime Maussan, you had a surprise visit at your home not too long ago from Jaime Maussan, right?
Yeah, that's right. About a couple of weeks back, him and his film crew came down here to my house, and we did an interview for his talk show in Mexico. So it was really great to see Jaime again. So
he is, of course, one of the stellar names in UFO media. But his show in Mexico is, of course, in Spanish. How did you manage that? Did you just speak in English and they're going to do a translation overlay or something?
Well, I asked him to give me a copy of the show when it airs, and he said he would. So it probably will be in Spanish, and I might have to get the subtitles for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did basically the show in my house. You know, it was all English, but to introduce the show, he was in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a nice guy, isn't he?
Oh, awesome, great fellow. He's really on the game here, and it's really great to see someone you know, because he is a respected news journalist, he used to work, you know, for like the CNN down there in Mexico, so he started off in that field first before he became in UFOs. So it's just great to get someone else, you know, who's in this type of a business and to get the word out, you know.
Mm. Now, you know, you've done a whole lot to get the word out yourself. And it's really been interesting for me to watch. And I was hoping you wouldn't cave in and just give up and walk away from it because you were catching so much flack from, really, in my opinion, some petty, jealous people. But you've hung in there, and you continue to research. You continue to do the videos, catch these things on video, and then post them on your website and some of them on YouTube. And you know, you've really hammered on this, and you've done a lot to get the word out that, you know, there is something really phenomenal happening. Now, I know that, you know, whenever you are researching, and I know things about you other people don't know, you have spent literally hundreds of hours in the library researching old documents from here in the valley.
Oh, that's right, yeah. That's where to start, you know, to try to get the true history of Phoenix, to try to explain on where these UFOs come from. So a lot of hours in the library there.
As you have watched things develop over the years here, you've noticed there are patterns, and you've talked about this. You know that at certain times of the year, there are going to be more of these things than at other times, and you've been able to document that. So let me ask you, and maybe you have noticed and maybe you haven't, but it's a question that I have been asked through email, and that is, have you noticed any change in the UFO activity in this area since this BP oil gusher disaster in the Gulf?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, it seems the UFOs have been increasing on a dramatic scale over the last, you know, at least until 1997. You know, there's more coming here. And as far as the oil spill, you know, I'm not too familiar with that because, you know, these UFOs come on a regular basis, and I just think that...
So you haven't noticed an increase since the oil disaster?
I'd have to say no, not at this point in time, but not to say other sky watchers are picking up more activity somewhere else, so I'm just not quite sure about that.
Do you think that... you know, you mentioned that Jaime Maussan calls these things critters. You've talked about them in terms of them being living entities. It's been a while since you've been on the show. You've had a chance to watch these things a little bit more. What are your feelings about that now? Are they living entities, or you don't know, or are they... machines? What is your opinion, having now looked at them for a bit longer?
Holy cow. You know, dealing with these things on a first-hand, almost, you know, monthly basis, it seems like, I can tell you that these things is a living being. And watching them for so many years and studying them, you know, I haven't came to that technology part yet. I'm still missing that. I don't see it. But what I do see is another... a creature, another living being, another life force, if you will. When these people see these lights in the sky, they think it could be an invisible ship with these lights that are, you know, not cloaked, if you will. But in my opinion, on watching these things, I believe that each light is the entity itself. Each is the creature. So you got eight lights out there, you have eight creatures, and they're highly conscious, and they're aware of their surroundings. So, yes, I'd say that these things they're alive.
England has become, not England, the UK, and that's the UK, for those who don't know, does include England, but it's a much bigger area than just England. So, but the UK has become a hotspot for UFO sightings. And it seems like, you know, it's just more and more and more happening over the UK. And on the internet, last week, after I talked with you, I saw a report from the UK where someone had caught one of these UFOs on video. The people at the newspaper got a still shot off of the video and enlarged it, and they put it in their article. And their comment, and I'm paraphrasing, but their comment was basically, well, there it is. You make of it whatever you will. And here's the deal. It's an orb of light, and when they enlarged it, you can very clearly see some kind of creature sitting right up in that orb of light looking out.
Like out through the window?
No. No, it's like if you think of it like a big bubble with a creature sitting inside the bubble.
Right, like a transparent type thing. You can kind of see through it.
Yeah, but it's all light. But you can see this creature there.
That's amazing.
It is. So, you know, I'm wondering, I thought about this when I saw that. I'm wondering if Jeff Woolline's Creatures and Critters in the Sky may be like that. And maybe inside those balls of light, there is a creature.
That's possible. Watching them and studying the rock art, it seems like these things morph and they tend to take shape. But there is a rock art that's on my website, touchofglassinthesky.com, which clearly shows a barbell-type-looking entity or thing that they actually absorbed a man through. You can actually see a man that's inside this barbell, and he's actually peering through a window. And some people might mistaken this as a ship, a barbell ship, coming down and picking this guy up. But in studying these things in the sky and watching them and studying the rock art, it seems like what this barbell actually did was come down to absorb this man and make him a little peering window and take him up into the sky. So this guy is actually inside another living being.
Hmm. Well, at least there in that rock art, you've got a creature, a man, inside of one of these things. So, and kind of where I was going with this is, you know, we've talked about technology versus living entity. And I've had people on the show who have said, well, it's both because the ship is alive. But, you know, it can fly on its own, but it can carry people or extraterrestrials inside as well. And I thought, when I saw that picture, you know, I thought, well, you know, Maybe that's it. Maybe this ball of light is living, but has the capability of carrying a creature inside it.
That could very well be. That's right.
Have you ever seen them get larger, or have you ever seen large ones get smaller? Can they change their size?
All the time. You know, when they seem to go away, they just don't simply just vanish. They slowly, you know, either disintegrate or, you know, maybe cloak in the sky, but they slowly seem to go away and they slowly seem to get smaller. And these things, yes, these things do take many different shapes to many different sizes.
You got a video of a barbell-shaped thing in the sky. And this is not the older one that we've talked about before. You've gotten one fairly recently, haven't you?
Ooh, let's see. Throughout the years, you know, we're going to have to talk dates here. Which date? Are you talking about the barbell date? Or?
Yeah, I'm talking about your most recent barbell.
Oh, that was like a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like at the house that I was staying at the time, And watching these things and studying them over the years, it seems like I've found at least four hotspots here in the valley where these things attract on a regular basis. They're like hot spots, if you will. And in studying this, it seems like the spirals, we've talked about this before, when the spirals end down, that means there's a, you know, there's a doorway on the ground there. When it ends up on top, there's a doorway in the sky. Well, it seems like this house was sitting right under a doorway, because every night, or almost every day, I'd walk out there, out to the backyard, we'd see something in the sky. And it seemed like they would just pop up, like, right above the house there. So it was a major hotspot where I was sitting at for a time. And one of the videos that we shot was this barbell, and he seemed to be flipping end over end, and then he'd straighten out, and then he'd kind of rotate and go backwards, and he'd start flipping end over end. And he just kind of cruised over the house there. And later on, I noticed this white airplane. He seemed to cruise over the house, and I really didn't pay him no mind. But then about 5 minutes later, a black helicopter started to head my way, and that's when I recorded it. And I stuck that on the video also. And to me, you know, watching the skies, you know, I've seen these white airplanes and I've seen these black helicopters literally chase these things away. So in my mind, you know, it had to have been the government being, you know, alerted to one of these things.
What do you think? We've got about a minute here till break. What do you think about the government chasing these things away? Do you think that they have information that these things, whatever they are somehow harmful to us, or perhaps have hostile intentions?
Well, here's my theory on it. You know, I've been only studying these things for only 5.5 years, and I've came to the conclusions of on my own of what I, you know, think these things are and what they could possibly do and the reason why they're here. And it's my understanding that the government is at least 30 years before me, ahead of me, so they know exactly what's going on here. And I think, in my eyes, what I've witnessed is they're actually using man as a deterrent to shoo these things away, because it's not time for them to make contact yet. And I think there's maybe something higher above these UFO beings that is telling them, you know, not to make contact, for the simple fact is we don't need them yet.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this. More with Jeff Woolite. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolite. And Jeff, when we went away for break, you had just said you think that there is some higher intelligence that's telling these critters it's not time to make contact yet. All right, so that brings up a little bit of a hairy question, and it's the answer to this question, I understand, is pure speculation. But based on two things here, based on your having really watched these things up close and personal for the past 5.5 years, and based on there seems to be a feeling, kind of just a sense out there in the world that, boy, something big is just about to happen, and it really doesn't look good. You know, that real sense of apprehension out there all around the world. You put those two things together. What do you think? Do you think that you said they're being told it's not time to contact us yet? We don't need it yet. You think that's about to happen?
Let me give you the reasons why. In studying the past and talking with some of the natives here, it seems like when the Hohokam and the Mayans arrived here, they didn't know how to live in the desert here. And some would say that they actually followed these light beings to some of these sacred mountains here to actually, you know, to live and to worship and to perform sacrifice on. And it seems like they didn't know how to live, so these things taught them. They taught them the ways on how to survive. And when they were gone, they promised to return again. And I think the reason why there's slowly but surely, well, they've always been here. In my mind, and in the rock art and the Indians, the true Native Americans who understand the true ways here, understand that these things have been with us forever. Just like a new species of fish that the oceanographers are finding in the oceans, well, this is another species of life above ground here that man hasn't seen in over 1,000 years. And these things do come out on times of the seasons, and just, you know, some biblical scrolls call them watchers, you know, that they're just watching, you know, on what's going on until the great judgment day, if you will. And it seems like they're just simply watching Mother Earth here and what's going on in it. And soon, in my opinion, as soon as we need them again, then that's when one of these phoenix lights will come down and turn himself into a man, just like what the rock art shows on South Mountain, and say that he's, you know, he's here to help us. And, you know, he's going to clear up the oceans. He's going to clear up the air. You know, he's going to have this magical power. And it doesn't shock me that these things do have some kind of powers. I mean, look what they're doing in the sky today. This is their world, as far as I'm concerned. It's not our world. This is their world. And we're just kind of, you know, visitors here, you know, because these things were here, in my opinion, way before us. And I think it's only a matter of time when mankind will come back to these holy mountains for help and guidance, as it was in the time of the beginning, because there won't be any food, there won't be any water, but yet they're going to see these things, and then they're going to come down. And another theory that I'm kind of working on, you know, it says that this rapture that the Bible talks about, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, and it talks about how in a blinking of an eye and a puff of smoke that we will be caught up to meet the Lord. Well, there's something that I've been kind of overlooking all these years, and it dawned on me, you know, we'll be caught up, you know, we'll be caught, you know, we'll be caught. And it seems like that's the story here at South Mountain is the Indians say that the devil came from the east and pretty much caught these people and took them away. And so I think that, you know, right behind, you know, I guess whatever is going to happen, it's possible these things might come down and start catching people to lift them in the air, just as it was at the time of the beginning and just what the rock art shows on the mountains here. So this is another reason why, you know, the government isn't saying, yes, you know what, E.T.'s here and he's here to help us. It's because last time E.T. was here, he conquered us. You know, look at the evidence around the world. Look at the pyramids. Look at the Aztecs. Okay, there was sacrificing going on for the gods in the sky. Hello, I'm talking about these creatures here, these UFOs. It's the same story here on South Mountain with the altars.
All right, now you have, for those who don't know, you have walked virtually every inch of South Mountain. You've been all over the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of mountain there. You know, it took these people at least 1,000 years to put whatever sacred is in these holy mountains. So, in my opinion, it'll probably take another 1,000 years to find it all.
Yeah, but you have found what, at least to you, appears to be evidence of sacrificing having gone on out there, right?
Absolutely. You can see there's an altar there on my website where it's clearly carved out to a stone altar. There's petroglyphs on it, and by coincidence, it's next to a stream bed. And anybody who studies sacrifice knows that they purified themselves first before they you know, sacrifice the altar victim there. So it makes total sense. And in the position of where the altar sits. So there's many altars out there, but now they've been either covered up or just not talked about anymore.
Some perhaps the most interesting features at South Mountain, the petroglyphs, cave openings, and other features, actually were dynamited away, right?
yes, that's the evidence that I see there, you know, climbing the mountain and seeing the rock art, that most of the rock art on South Mountain has been destroyed. And I found a lot of old maps in the library, 1930s, 1940 maps, where it tells us, you know, there's petroglyphs there. But now, today, the petroglyphs are missing and they're blown up. Either that or they're taken away, you know, and put in the museums and things like that. But, yes, most of the rock art, the story here has been destroyed.
Do you think there's enough of the story left out there on the rock art for us to really get a clear picture of what they were trying to tell us?
Oh, yeah. Even through all the mist and debris, there's still a lot of symbols left on the mountain there. And South Mountain isn't the only mountain they carved on. You know, the way I look at these mountains is they're literally scrolls. They're scrolls from our past. And they're not just carved on South Mountains, but all of the mountains around the Valley of the Sun tells us what these Phoenix Lights are, tells us what happened to the Holocom, tells us about what was going on here, you know, back in the day when people were actually interacting with these Phoenix Lights. And so, yes, the story is still there. You can find better, more information through some of the other mountains, like the White Tank Mountains and the Superstition Mountains, and the Australia, because, you know, the government left those mountains alone and the story is still intact there. But as far as South Mountain is concerned, the government is really suppressing this mountain.
Do you think that it's because South Mountain seems to be the doorway through which these things are coming and going?
Not only that, but because that mountain sits right in the heart of the city, basically. You know, I mean, we have Phoenix there on the south side, and then we have Ahwatukee, and then closer to Tucson, you know, towards the west and the east there. So, yeah, you know, that mountain is sitting right in the middle of the heart of town. And if you notice, the government has been pushing man so close to that mountain, you know, that they want to destroy, they want to put a freeway through that mountain. On 40th Street and Baseline, there's a Rustler's Roost Bar and Grill that sits there now. And when that was being constructed, there was Indian burial grounds, that whole area, even all those houses, all those condos and that hotel that sits there, according to the 1930s map, that's all burial ground. And when that was all being constructed, the Indians protested the golfers and the construction workers, saying death will become to you guys because you guys are building on sacred ground. And it's my interpretation theory is it seems like watch anything, like when an airplane gets close to the UFO would just disappear. And the airplane will circle and the airplane will leave, and then as soon as the airplane leaves, the light comes back. And it seems like every time a helicopter gets close to that mountain, you know, where a UFO is, they hurry up away. Well, one comes off the mountain and comes over my house and sits there in the sky, he's okay for a little while until airplanes start to arrive. As soon as those airplanes start to get in the sky, boom, he takes off and ditches himself into another mountain. And I think government has been doing this enough to know that it seems like when, just for their own curiosity, hey, let's try to get close to this thing. Oh, wait a minute, every time we do, he goes away. You know, it seems like they've been chasing him down for years, and now, because there's so many coming, they're actually using man as a deterrent. They're making man go onto these mountains as a deterrent to shoo away these UFOs.
I'm still unclear as to why they would want to shoo them away. They don't seem to be doing anything. You know, they're just flying around. And look, for those of you in the audience, let me tell you, here in Phoenix, Arizona, we see things in the sky that are not airplanes. They're not helicopters. And by every measure that we know, they are not man-made. I mean, we see these things in the sky all the time. It's very frequent. But they don't seem to be doing anything except just flying around. I'm unclear as to why the government would want to shoo them away if they're not doing anything other than just flying around, looks like they're on a vacation.
Well, here's my theory. If they came out and already told us, you know, hey, you know, there's UFOs in the sky, there's something here, blah, 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 you know, the religious aspect of the whole situation, you know, some of the religious cultures, you know, that would be kind of hard to control. And also, you know, hey, can, you know, President Obama fly? Can he shift shape? Can he, you know, go inside a mountain? And can he leave the planet on his own? No. And I think, you know, the government wants to keep people at government level, you know, worship government. Don't, you know, believe in us. Don't believe in these UFOs. You know, because once people find out that, hey, there is something a little bit higher than man, you know, they don't want us, in my opinion, to be fooled again like last time. You know, so in a way, I think they should let us know that they're here, but they also should let us, they should warn us about, you know, last time that they were here, you know, not to be fooled by these things, you know, because one's going to say that he might be God and he might not be. But because at that time we need him, and because he's doing all these miracles and shift-shaping and changing shapes and looking beautiful, we're going to think he's an angel, but he's not the right angel.
You know, you're a puzzle to me. And I'll tell you, this is not something that I haven't said to you before. You're a puzzle to me because you obviously think these things are potentially dangerous, and yet you keep going to the mountains. Right now, you live right up next to Superstition Mountain.
That's right, that's right. And it seems like no matter where, you know, I've been seeing these UFOs for 15 years now, you know, and studying them, I've come to find out that some of them are good and some of them are bad. But it doesn't matter where I go lately, it seems like it was weird when
I hate to do it, but we have stepped away for a break. We'll pick up there, though, when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back, and my guest is Jeff Woolnine, who is one of the premier videographers of UFOs in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Jeff, we were talking about, you know, I said you're a puzzle to me because, you know, you have said that, you know, you think that these things are dangerous, or maybe, and yet you're right up there with them. Up in the middle of the mountains, many times by yourself up in there. And that's a bit of a puzzle to me.
Well, you know, right before the break, I was explaining, you know, I've been seeing them all over the country now for over 15 years. And I don't know what's going on, but for the last 5 years, I started to figure out, you know, to do my own investigation. That's what brought me into this. You know, I just saw things in the sky, so I studied. I had nothing else better to do but study a mountain and watch the UFOs, and coming to the conclusion, my hunches were right. And it just, the more and more I got into it, you know, the more and more I realized what they were and what we're dealing with. And it's like all the evidence is there. If you just study this, if you look into the history of the last time they were here, and just look at, you know, the evidence still left behind as far as the altars and the sacrificing steps up the pyramids of the Mayan civilization. You know, I mean, there's evidence all over the place that man has dealt with things on the sky before, and they are waiting for them to return. And look what they did before. You know, they pretty much conquered us, you know. So it's like no one else is really talking about this. And if I can just bring this out to the open, you know, and present my findings to the public and let them decide, you know, because for all these years, you know, for at least 40 years, it's all been Alpha Centauri and this UFO, you know, this green guy picked me up and, you know, he cured me of cancer, or, you know, he's doing, you know, probes on my body or something like that. You know, well, this is something completely different. And it's because people haven't really studied and looked into this for themselves. they're taking the word of someone trying to sell a book or trying to sell a, you know, trying to sell a movie, and they're not really looking into the history on UFOs. And when they do, when they realize this, they'll come to find out what we're really dealing with and what mankind has dealt with them in the past. And so that's pretty much what I'm doing. If these things obviously are going to follow me around everywhere I go, well, I might as well start selling them, and I might as well start spreading the word. So obviously, you know, this, I didn't choose this way of life. These things actually chose me to do it. So I guess, you know, I could be a spokesman for these things, telling people, hey, look, there is something here. You know, you don't believe this guy on the phone, then go out there and investigate it for yourself. You know, look what he has filmed, look what he has, you know, accomplished, and go out there and see if he's right or not.
As a matter of fact, you had a, I forget if it was a TV film crew or somebody with you up on the mountain when one appeared up there.
That's right. The Ultimate Encounters. I did a cable show for the people in New York. They were called The Ultimate Encounters. And we spent a day up there on the mountain. And the first couple hours coming off the mountain, we ended up seeing an orb, but it was in and out, you know, of the sky so fast. And I was like, hey, you know what? I know a hot spot. You know, they seem to come around this hot spot between 4 and 7. Let's just go out there and wait. Well, we went out to that hill, and within a half an hour, 40 minutes, we're out there, boom, this orb came right over our heads, and he filmed it, and it made him a true believer. And I love it when things like that happen. And it happens a lot lately because I do tours up on the mountains. These last 3 years, I've been doing a lot of tours. I've been taking a lot of people up there. And there's three spots. You know, the Indians say that these petroglyphs have the power to invoke these spirits. And for some reason, somehow, I've been able to do this. And I found three spots on South Mountain here where you can actually go and acknowledge that they're here and talk to them. And either that day or within a few days later, you will see the exact same thing on the rock that you were talking to days before in the sky. And it's happened to so many people. And sometimes it happens that day, or, you know, maybe a couple weeks, they'll call me up, Jeff, I saw a barbell in the sky. You know, you made a believer out of me, you know. So it's really cool.
This film crew that was with you when the orb appeared, and they videotaped it, you have that, it's either on your site or on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's on my YouTube. It's under that barbell sighting, too. I kind of put both sightings on there because it happened around the same time period. And so I hit two birds with one stone. I put two videos in there. So in that first video, it was us all amounts in there filming, and then the first couple shots of us trying to get it. And then later on, we're up on the mountain, and we're seeing it.
Well, you know, I know that for many, many people around the world who have never seen with their own eyes something like this, the natural reaction is, well, it's an interesting story, and, you know, maybe it's true. I'm not saying it's not, but it's an interesting story. But for people who live out here in the valley that take the time to look somewhere besides at the sidewalk, if they look up, they will... eventually, they're going to see these things in the sky because they're all over the Phoenix Valley, the Valley of the Sun, and they happen all the time.
Yes, more.
Well, when
more
I say they happen all the time, folks, I don't mean that it's every day, all day, but I mean it's extremely frequent that we see these things in the sky here. And but, you know... what's really weird is they seem, after they leave the mountain, they seem very often to sort of morph into a solid object of some type. And but then when they go back to the mountain, they kind of morph back into just light and fade back into the mountain. And, you know, maybe not all of them, but there are some that do that. And that sort of thing is being filmed in various other parts of the country and other parts of the world. And down in Mexico is one place where they see that kind of thing all the time.
That's That's right. You know, flying orbs, and the latest thing to hit Mexico is these worms. And when you search YouTube on, you know, I think it was 2010 or 2009 Mexico UFO sightings, I found one video of Jaime Maussan, and this guy filmed this huge worm in the sky, man, and you could tell this thing was alive, and it's like both ends were like faces or something, and it was just kind of checking out the Mexican people and stuff, and just incredible footage. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, dang, you know, same stuff is over here. We're getting flying serpents also here, you know, huge snakes. So, and it's on a regular occurring basis here, and it seems like the further along as years progress, more sightings is happening here. In my opinion, what we got going on here is a little UFO invasion that no one really is paying attention to because they're simply not looking up. You know, and if they are looking up, then they're so in awe of what they've seen. There has to be a balloon. There has to be, you know, something logical. You know, it couldn't be another life form.
Well, I know it's weird, and I know it's real. And, you know, I think that what you've been doing with your video cameras and with your research and the information that you've put out, you've put out a couple of DVDs on this, and also you take people up on the mountain. But your work that you're doing, I think, is really, really important. I'm not sure, though, that we're ever really going to understand it all.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I think in some thinkings, you know, sometimes I think that it's not us that are going to have to deal with these creatures. It's the people that survive, you know, whatever is about to happen, you know. And I think that, you know, it's the government or the people living in caves or whatever is about to happen, you know, when finally man needs these things, you know, that's when they're going to have to deal with it. And I don't think that we'll be around to see it. I think it's the people, you know, that's going to survive whatever is to come.
So you don't plan on surviving?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say what's going on here, you know. It makes me think, you know, well, do you really want to see it, you know, or would it be a lot easier to just get it over with, you know? And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that at the end of the day, you know, fears of terror will make people kill themselves, you know, of what they see. You know, it's going to be so scary and so frightening that they're going to want to die. They're not going to want to live anymore.
All right, Jeff, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jeff Woolline. We're going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us for this conversation with Jeff. If you have questions or a comment, we invite you to call. The main telephone number, and this works anywhere on planet Earth, is 623-444-5889. In the United States and Canada, if you need to call me toll-free, you can do so. And the telephone number is 888-223-4599. And, you know, I told you, one of the things that I was worried about is that I would not have all the buttons pushed right when I came back this week, and you could hear the phones ring. I didn't push the buttons to kill the phone ringer. Caller, if you will, just hang on for just a moment. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there, but I do have a flash message option on the website. And you can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see where it says flash message. Just click that and send us your question or your comment, and I'll be more than happy to read it, and we'll get our guests to respond to it. Jeff, you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, Jeff's an enigma of his own making there, kind of. You know, running around South Mountain like that. I find, you know, truth, you know, in people who, you know, have seen something and give it respect, you know what I mean? You got cattle problem to get the information out of it. They don't really want to, you know, share. Not that the people that's out there sharing are lying, but, you know, I find truth in, you know, someone who's sitting back and says, you know, if something happened to me, but they're not out there waving their flags. And I was wondering, Jeff, don't you ever get a little scared running around out there? You know, they might someday think you're a sacrifice or something, snatch you up.
Yeah. You know, I think when I'm out there, I'm more afraid of the livestock, you know, the coyote and the wild boar that's running around out there. You know, I just, until it happens, you know, I don't think, you know, they'll swoop down and pick me up anytime soon. It's not just going to be me. If it does happen, it'll probably be, you know, everybody. So I'm really not too concerned about those things, though they do kind of scare me in a way, but... I mean, look what they look like. You know, they're serpents. They're like flying spider turtle-looking things. I mean, they're black orbs. It's nothing that we would, you know, imagine, you know, dealing with ET would possibly be. It's another creature. So I am a little afraid, but then again, you know, something is going on, and they're here, they're real, and the only reason why I'm seeing them is because I'm looking up and I'm paying attention to them and I studied. And I think anyone else could probably do this also and just sit and have the time to watch them. And
hey, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got one other question before I get loosed out here. I was wondering, have you ever been able to use Google Earth to, you know, substantiate anything, you know, sightings on the mountain there? And I'll get off the line for the rest of this callers. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. You know, as far as still photographs and satellite imagery and things like that, it's really hard to distinguish, you know, what could be a UFO and what not, you know, to be a UFO. In my professional opinion on things like that, if you don't see it in the sky, then, you know, it's hard to really photograph it. So I'm not a witness to any of those satellites. So I don't know if it's what it is. So I'm not going to come out and say, oh, you know, there's a UFO on Google Earth when actually it's a blimp. You know,
yeah.
Unless I know for a fact that it's a UFO, then, you know, I'll do that. But you know what? I have used these satellite images to find old Indian trails and to find possible markers, you know, that's off the trail that people have overlooked all these years. Because now that I know what I'm looking for, these tombs and these sacred places stick out like a sore thumb. So, yes, the satellite imagery is a good tool to use in this research.
All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Colin, and I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Colin.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to ask, I know he said about the tales coming down from the Indian lore. I'm wondering if there's any cases in literature, like in Dante's Inferno. I read Inferno. I don't know of anything, but other than like the Superman movie, it reminds me of the Superman movie where the prisoners are trapped in the mirror or whatever sort of thing. I had an experience myself where I saw one of these discs sitting down in the afternoon, and the first I had two actually. One was with my daughter at night. One was by myself in the afternoon. And right in the same place, which is interesting because he said that kind of thing in the same park in my neighborhood. And whatever. The first one seemed like it didn't want me to see it. And the only reason I did see it was because the clouds were kind of moving slowly and I saw it. And, you know, it was translucent. And I got the feeling of consciousness both times. The second time with my daughter, we both saw it, but it was red that time at night. And it actually, before it took off, it stopped and made sure we saw it. It was like walking with us almost at a walking pace. And then when it was very low in the sky over us. And then it jerked forward, you know, like 50, 100 feet, 200 feet. And then stopped and made sure we took a look at it. And then it took off faster than anything could take off and disappeared. But I was wondering, my question really was about the literature. Is there any examples that you from all your library trips of such prisons or something? just other than the Native American law that you've been talking about. And thanks for the answers.
Okay, Colin, thank you.
Yeah, good question. You know, I'm not too sure on that. You know, it seems some of the old structures out here, I can't think of the name of it now, but we got this huge structure out here in Arizona, and it has holes in it, and it's aligned with the sun, and they have real small doors and stuff, and the chambers, there's no windows and things, and it could look like a prison, but we just really don't know what it is. I forgot the other question. What was the part of the other question?
I have to be honest and tell you that I have an old brain, and I wasn't taking notes.
I remember now. You know what? When he was saying, yeah, you know, at first when we saw it, it seemed like he didn't want us to see it. It was kind of shy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like kind of my first-hand experiences with these things. And other, you know, people, when they tell me, it's like, you know, some people see a lot of UFOs and then some people don't. And then, you know, some people seem to be attracted to these things, so I'm coming to find out. For reasons unknown yet, but it seems like when they first make contact with someone, they're shy. You know, they'll do exactly what that UFO did to that last caller. They'll just like come in out of a tree or something, you know, and just be real shy. And then if it attracts that person and it catches that person's attention, and that person really wants to know what it is and keeps monitoring the sky, then he will start to see that they will actually come and get a little bit closer to him, and before you know it, they'll be over, you know, over his house pretty much all the time. And that seems to be what's going on. It seems like they're like animals. Sometimes they're shy, you know. Sometimes they're aggressive, and sometimes they just want to be left alone. You know what I mean? So we really don't have any control over these things. They pretty much have a mind of their own, and when they're ready to be seen, they'll let us know that they're here. But if they want to be, you know, quiet, then you won't see him for a while.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. Jeff, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Hey Mike.
Nice to hear you, Jeff. Been a while since you've been around.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think that any of these ETs or whomever are going to make any attempt to do anything about the Gulf?
Oh, the oil? No, You know, if they haven't made contact with us, you know, through some of the other natural disasters that occurred across here, this is nothing. You know, I mean, they're just going to wait and let time, you know, take its course. I think they're following, this is what I think. I think everything's written in stone, and everything is pretty much predestined. And, you know, we don't have any control of whatever is to come. You know, it's going to happen anyway, you know. So it's possible these things already knew that the water was going to get flooded with oil. You know, maybe this was part of the prophecy. You know, it seems like it says, one of the scriptures says that the water will turn to blood, and that some of the news reports that some of this oil is actually looking like blood. So who knows, you know, but I don't think they won't make contact, in my opinion, with us until we actually need them. Well, now, some say that right before this war, right before man destroys, you know, everyone, that these things might come down and stop it, you know, and if that's the case, that'll be all fine and dandy, but watch out for this person, because this creature is not, you know, here to help us, you know, or they could let us destroy ourselves, and the people that do survive this Holocaust, they're the ones that are going to have to deal with them, because it's going to be a lot easier to fool these people than to fool someone who's already alive. And because look what I did. If I can say, look, these things conquered people and I think they might do it again, you know, this is the reason why they're not coming down and making contact with us, is because people can figure them out. But if something was to happen and we need them, then we're going to be forced into it, you know, just like last time. So it'd be a lot easier to conquer someone when they're already conquered.
I agree. I think that this is our problem to work out, and we will never learn if we don't do it ourselves. And we'll let you go. And, Kevin, just let everybody know we're in the chat room if anybody wants to join us.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for that call, yeah.
All right. There you have an invitation from Mike, one of our members. He's in the chat room. And so if you're part of the members area, go to the chat room. But just don't let that stop you from calling. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Jeff, I have a question for you. Have you tried music yet?
Has he tried music for what, Brent?
Just playing music. I'm thinking about Gerald Epling's experiments with plants.
Mm.
And the previous and subsequent research has shown that the music a person likes tends to help those plants grow better, whereas the music they don't like tends to stunt their growth. So I'm wondering if Jeff were to take up a tape recorder, something, an MP3 player, anything, and just listen to some music out loud so that they can hear it too and see what their reaction would be. Would they react to it the way he reacts to it, or would their reactions be different?
What about that, Jeff? Have you used music to try and communicate with these things? Apparently, we've lost Jeff.
Hmm.
And I'm going to show those who are watching TV how I have my hands. My hands were just like this. I didn't push a button. It's not my fault. I didn't do that. Okay, Brent, you want to hang on? We'll see if we can get Jeff back. And I didn't hear it click or anything. Did you, Brent?
No.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get him back with us here. Hang on. It is ringing.
One ringy dingy.
One ringy dingy. But he may have, he may not even be aware we were cut off. So that may be, yeah, there he is. Yeah, I don't know what happened, Jeff.
Hey, Kevin, we're back.
Yeah, you got cut off. I didn't touch anything. Brent asked, have you used music to try and communicate with these things and see how they respond to the music?
Oh, great question. You know, it's interesting because we see some of these Native American art, and it depicts a Kachina or Indian, and he's playing the flute, but he's looking down. You know, he's not looking up, but he's playing the flute down as to, you know, he's trying to arouse the spirits. You know, he's trying to make the spirits appear. And I do have a flute, matter of fact, and I have played it up on the mountain, and I have, you know, sung to these things. You know, when you're out there, you sing. There's a few Native songs that I've kind of picked up, and it seems, you know, I tend to sing out there. But I think that music is, you know, a way to invoke these, to bring them out, and it could possibly do, you know, with the vibrations and tones and things. So
I was just wondering if you'd done that yet. They asked a couple years ago and I didn't know.
Yeah, well,
yeah, you know, I've tried many different things. I've tried singing to them. You know, I've tried, you know, calling and talking to the rocks. You know, I've even used, you know, crystal stones and carved the stones on there, you know, to leave my mark. And it seems like all of it seems to work if you just acknowledge them and know exactly, you know, what to look for and what time and seasons to see them.
But have you noticed any difference when you use the music? Does it make a difference?
I really don't know. I don't know. I think they do hear it. I think once you're out there on the mountain, you know, you're in the presence of those things all the time, and I think they're aware of it. Whether it makes a difference or not, it could, but there's, you know, more research needs to be done in that area.
Right.
The guy in the chat room wants me to say hello to him.
Brent, does that answer your question, or do you have another question?
Nope, that does fine. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the call, Brent.
Great, thanks for the call.
623-444-5889 is the telephone number. Or if you need to call me toll free, 888-223-4599. All right, we've got a flash message from, let's see, this is from John in Australia. And he says, greetings from the description just given of the balls of light with some creature inside. It sounds very much like what I understand to be a certain type of cosmic entity that utilizes not a craft, but a kind of energy cloak that facilitates its purpose upon the worlds of time and space. It has certain tasks to perform in these realms and is rarely witnessed, but they are in continuous action, performing their tasks to humankind. The cloak is a means of protection both to itself, and it facilitates its progress throughout the cosmic, together with the human that has reached a level where they have need to progress upon their own cosmic path. Okay, John, thank you for the flash message.
Yep, that's very good. I would agree with most of that. So that sounds right on the money.
But, you know, if that's what it is, you got to wonder what is up that we're now seeing so many of these around the world. I mean, well, look, we started out talking about you and Jaime Maussan. And Jaime has shown on his TV show, he's also shown it in conferences, it's also on YouTube, of a fleet of literally hundreds of these things going That's across right. the sky above Mexico City.
That's right. You know, it's happened here too, you know, in Phoenix. My friend Jeremy caught a fleet in Mesa about a year ago, and I saw myself a fleet over the house. We ended up counting, like, my son counted 50 of them that day, just popped up over the sky over the house. And it's interesting watching these things, you know, especially the Mexico footage. Mexico footage is fascinating. You can actually see on how they move up close to each other, and they actually touch each other as, you know, giving each other a bump or maybe absorbing each other's energy or something. And studying the rock art and studying the things in the sky, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if at one time that happened here in the city of Phoenix, but they actually all merged together to become one, either a flying dragon or a flying serpent or a big light. You know, they all merge into one being. So that's very possible in studying these things.
Well, let me ask again, because we sort of got off track of this question, but, you know, if what we're looking at are these cosmic beings that are here doing some special purpose, and they envelop themselves in this ball of light, and as the writer from Australia says, John, they're not often seen, he's heard, but they are now. And so yeah. The question is, why? What is up that people all over the world are seeing these?
Well, you know, the Indians say that we're in the fourth world and we're about to enter the fifth. And this Mayan calendar has predicted, you know, all these solar eclipses and right on the money and times and dates in the past. And it says that in the year 2012 that we're going to have, you know, some cosmic shift. So in my opinion, that calendar isn't the end, it's just a new beginning. So in my opinion, this 2012 business and that Mayan calendar, and it has serpents on that calendar. If you looked at that calendar, if you studied it, there's serpents on it, and all these weird creatures and things. Well, that's basically what we're seeing in the sky now. So I believe in these next few years, you know, we're going to be seeing a lot of these creatures, and eventually, you know, they will make contact, possibly 2012, and possibly either or 2013. So that's something that we need to look at. It could, maybe the time for realizing that they're here might happen in 2012, but to make contact could fall into 2013.
one of our listeners in Australia sends me email about sightings that he's had, and he talks about this. It's very interesting. He talks about this orange orb, and he says it's a color. It's orangish in color, but it's a color you really can't adequately describe. And it turns a certain way, and you can see the same thing that we call the Eye of Horus. You know that Eye of Horus, you know, in the Egyptian hieroglyphs?
Absolutely, yes.
And he says he has seen that more than once, and not at a great distance either, up close. What do you think that might be about?
That's really hard to say, you know, without seeing what he's seeing. So it could be one of these entities, you know, that, you know, has many eyes or looks like one eye, but it's really hard to tell.
All right, I was going to read another flash message that has come in, but we're close enough to break that I'm going to hold it until we come back from break. It's from Puerto Rico, and then we just had another one that has arrived from Ireland, and so we'll do, as soon as we come back, the telephone lines will still be open, but as soon as we come back, we'll do those two flash messages. Jeff, I don't know what is coming, I don't know what's up, and I'm not afraid of it, but I do have a sense that something big is up, something big is about to happen, and I think a lot of people have that same sense that something's up. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's the whole reason why I think these things are here, and as time progresses, more people will eventually start seeing these, because there's going to be high.
All right, Jeff, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Jeff Woolline. Jeff, since we had that little telephone weird thing happen, let me ask, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. This is from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. And by the way, folks, the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599 if you're calling toll-free. Leonardo in Puerto Rico says, "Hi, Kevin. Good show as always. In Puerto Rico, we have a national rainforest called El Yunque in the east, and people have seen saucers coming and going into the mountain. In the west, we have a national reserve called Laguna Cartagena, and people have seen saucers going into and coming out of the lagoon. Every time this happens, people who venture into these areas, and even the press, are stopped by the U.S. military, where a hotspot for UFO activity." Interesting. U.S. military stops people from going into these areas to check on these UFOs they see going in and out of the mountain or going in and out of the Laguna Cartagena.
That's very interesting. You know, some countries, in their laws and regulations, it's actually illegal to make contact with an extraterrestrial life. So that might be one of them.
Well, you sort of wonder, though, about U.S. military stopping them. Because that's Puerto Rico. Yeah. Look, I know there is a special relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States. People who are citizens of Puerto Rico are citizens of the United States as well. They have a U.S. passport. And they're just like a state, except they're not a state. So they don't have senators and congressmen in Washington, D.C. But they also, that means they can't vote on all these laws and stuff, but it also means they don't pay any taxes to the federal government. That's a pretty sweet deal. And but I didn't know that the U.S. military would have any jurisdiction in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's actually the first time I've ever heard anything like that about Puerto Rico, but maybe I'm just ignorant of the facts on that. I didn't know that the U.S. military had any jurisdiction there. Anyway, Leonardo, thank you so much for the flash message. Let's get to this second one from Kevin in Ireland. He wants to know if you know anything about the term Foo Fighters that the aircraft pilots used to describe that they use to describe UFOs they've seen in World War II. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, sure. You know, you can find photographs that has leaked out nowadays where, you know, it's an old vintage World War II plane up in the sky with these lights, you know, right in front of it. So, and at that time, they didn't know what it was. They thought it was the enemies. And if I recall, I think it was under President Reagan's watch, or I'm not too sure which president it was, but once both countries finally realized that it wasn't their own, you know, that's when it kind of brought the world a little closer together.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
All right.
Now, I've seen the white orb come down, and after that, that came down in front of me, very large. But then after that, I started seeing these small orbs in my photographs and stuff. I got hundreds of them now. And I wonder, is there any relationship between these small orbs that we get in photographs and these orbs that you see in the sky?
I would have to say it's the same thing. It's just the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's great that you're photographing them.
I got lots and lots of those. I even got one of my puppy, actually, with one on his nose. He was actually playing with it. I was watching him play with it, and that's what made me snap the picture. And my cat's watching them, too. I always know when there's
because
the cats are playing with them.
Leah, have you ever, in these photographs, noticed something that looks like a little creature inside any of these orbs?
Actually, I've got quite a few that look that way, and lately it's been really different the last few months where I can see faces in a lot of them. And I wonder if it's in my imagination that I'm just seeing faces, but some of them are really obvious, and I've seen the eye, like a reptilian eye. I mean, looks like almost a photograph of eye. Just one eye, though. Never,
wow.
Almost never two. And it looks like a reptilian
eye
or a cat eye. Also, I've seen an orange orb start to come down from the sky, and it's like as soon as I saw it, pointed out to the person that was standing next to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just went straight up and disappeared.
Do these things make any noise?
No. The small orbs that's around, I can feel a difference where I don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it's very benign and actually nice. But there's been a few where I caught some colored ones,
mm-hmm.
and you know, red, orange, blue. They're rare, but I've caught some of those. And sometimes there are times I don't feel really comfortable being out there.
Some people are in tune with these things, and I get a lot of vibes. You know, being in certain spots, you know, where I'm not welcome there. You know, you can tell there's a presence there.
Yeah, exactly. That's a feeling I get.
That's right.
Most of the time it's a welcoming feeling. But there are times
right.
I feel like, okay, it's time to go back in the house.
Have you Leah, have you ever felt like you were in danger?
Yes, there's been times that I felt it was urgent to go back inside for some reason, and I don't know if I'm being warned from something else or what, because there's been times where I got a really feeling, I was taking pictures, I turned around, and I got a strong feeling of something approaching, and I snapped the picture behind me, and actually got a whole flow of them coming over the house in a dark shadow with it. And that did feel...
Well, I'd love to see that.
It was... I wish I had a better camera. I mean, I can catch it, and I could actually see a dark form in it and a whole mess coming over. I got some pictures of that.
Wow. Well, what part of the country are you in?
Tennessee.
Yeah, what part of Tennessee?
Dandridge.
Okay.
It's not far from Knoxville.
Okay. So you're up in the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got caves up here, and a ravine that really feels, you can feel presence in there. And I haven't been the only one to mention that, you know.
Is there any rock art scattered along the mountain of there?
What was that?
Are there any rock art that are on some of the mountains that you noticed?
Well... there's been, where I'm at, there's been so many people that destroyed so much of the mountains with the trees, knocking them down and stuff like that, so much. It's hard to find it.
Right.
But it is a place, where here we had a lot of the wars, like the Civil War and the British War long ago.
Right.
Rocks back there that you can still actually, you can actually see the place where they set cannons. You can see where the muskets hit the rocks.
Wow.
And,
I'm sure there's a lot of spirits around that area.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened and a lot of spirit. And my grandson, when he was three, barely could talk. We was walking through the woods, and he climbed up on one of those rocks and just started, put his hand over his heart, stood like he was at attention, and started humming, I'm going blanking, the song where they sing where people die and they do on the horn. Help me out.
Oh, right. Taps?
The tap. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He never heard that before. He's only 3 years old.
Wow!
That floored us all. My daughter-in-law wouldn't go in the woods anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
Okay, Leah, thank you so much for your call. Wow, that's interesting. Very
that
interesting.
Is.
Okay, 623-444-5889. Is the number to call. It will work from anywhere in the world. 623-444-5889. If you need to call me toll free, in other words, you don't have one of those calling plans where you can call anywhere in the United States and it doesn't cost you extra, if you don't have one of those, you use the toll free number in the U.S. and Canada. It is 888-223-4599. We have flash message from Ross in the United Kingdom, and he says, "Hi, Kevin and Jeff. I'm glad I'm not the only one with the something big is going to happen soon feeling."
Yeah.
And Ross, you're very definitely you're not the only one. That is very widespread throughout the world. And it's not something you're going to hear major media report on, but it is very widespread throughout the world. Lots and lots of people really have a sense of something big is going to happen. Now, some people, it's a sense of foreboding, and they're really worried about it. For me, it's not that. It's just, something's up. Something's up. Anyway, Ross says, Jeff, do you have any similar feelings? And if so, what and when?
Oh, sure. You know, the evidence is all over the world. You know, you can actually tell the Earth is changing right before our eyes. And, you know, the population of the planet is increasing. And, you can actually, there is something big about to happen. I've been saying this, for 5 years now. you know, I believe this is the reason why we're seeing these UFOs now on a regular basis and all over the country, is because they're actually building forces. They're getting ready. Whatever is about to happen, these things are clearly involved with. So I think the more time goes by, as years progress, there's going to be a lot of UFO sightings, and it's only a matter of time when everybody will understand that, yes, we are being visited by something, and yes, you know, they've clearly been here before. So it's going to happen real soon. What? I have no idea yet. There's so many possibilities. There's so many theories on what can happen in the next few years. It's really hard to pinpoint, you know, but the bottom line is, yeah, something major is going to happen in our lifetime, and these UFOs is going to be a great part of it.
Well, it's like I say, the best policy, I think, is just make sure you got your surfboard right close at hand, because, you know, you see a tsunami coming, maybe with that surfboard, maybe you can ride it out. And
That's right.
Yeah.
There's evidence on the mountains here in the Valley of the Sun that water has reached that high before. So, yes, it has flooded here before, you know, hundreds and even thousands of years ago, and it's very possible it could happen again.
Well, even if it's not water, if it's like a global political tsunami, you got your surfboard ready, you can ride it out. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have a flash message, Jeff, from Davey in the United Kingdom. It says, Jeff, what does your research reveal, if anything, about cattle mutilations and human mutilations?
That's interesting. You know, we haven't had a report out here, at least in Phoenix, of cattle mutilations, so I'm not really too familiar on that. It does look like, you know, from what I've seen, you know, on videos and photographs and things, that it is some type of highly advanced, you know, surgical tool that they're using to burn away this flesh and to drain all its blood like that. You know, it's got to be something a little bit that we're not familiar with. What's to say it's alien or not? I have no idea. As far as humans is concerned, I have no records of them doing this on humans, and if there is, I'd love to see it.
Well, there are reports of it happening. I don't think it's very common. I could be wrong about that. But there are some reports of it having happened, particularly, I believe, in Brazil, I believe, is one place where it happened. And I think... Now, don't hold my feet to the fire on this, but I think I remember one of our guests mentioning a human mutilation taking place in the United States.
Wow.
And but I'm fuzzy on that one. I think they're having them in Colorado. The cattle mutilations have started up again in Colorado. And so it's a weird phenomenon. But have you ever seen, Jeff, have you ever seen any of these orbs of light, these strange shapes that appear in the skies over, especially over South Mountain? Have you ever seen them come down and attack any of the wildlife, like the coyotes or the javelinas that live there on the mountain?
No, I haven't witnessed any of that, and I believe that the people who's monitoring the situation out there through the helicopters and airplanes swarming around these UFOs and watching the mountains there, I think they're looking for that. I think that, because the rock art depicts this, the rock art does show them picking coyotes up or dogs, you know, and picking people up. And this one panel shows a barbell, and a man is actually offering a coyote to a barbell. So I think we're waiting for that to happen, and I think once that starts happening, you know, the people watching this will inform the president so he could probably go into hiding. You know, I think when it all goes down, whatever's going to happen, you know, I don't think that we will be informed on what's happening. You know, it'll be the people who already know about this will be underground, you know, for the safe spot.
So you don't, the way we'll find out is it'll be happening to us.
Yes, yes. You know, I'm kind of afraid for the people living so close to those mountains there, because, you know, they're going to be one of the first people to go. Especially there's a house out there that's sitting, they built a house right on top of petroglyphs, and it's sitting on spirals, and all kinds of creatures are tattooed all along this house. And I keep telling my son, you know what, one of these days, one of those serpents is going to come right up out of the living room, and they're gonna be in for a shock, you know. So that's just my theory and interpretation, just simply watching these things, and from what they've done before, you know. So I went into this thinking, you know, they're here to help us, and this is a good thing. And I came out of this going, holy cow, this is something completely different. And I understand why the government really isn't talking about these things, you know, because of their past.
You know, years ago, I used to live over there by South Mountain, and my backyard, well, I was two blocks from the mountain. Okay, I could stand in my backyard and look at the mountain two blocks away, but those two blocks had houses on them, and that last row of houses, their backyard opened right onto the mountain. And you know,
yeah,
when I was
doing my excavations out there, they were building these huge houses out there, and day after day they would be concreting. Which later on, well, not concreting, but they would be like really pounding with their jackhammers into this solid rock, and come to find out about a year later, they ended up putting a pool right there. I mean, it's a beautiful spot for a pool overlooking the mountain. You're in the mountain, basically, but what a shock it's going to be when they're swimming and they see a flying snake over their head.
Yeah, yeah. I just got a flash message from Leonardo in Puerto Rico again in response to what I had said about I had heard about some human mutilation here in the United States, but I was real fuzzy about it. And he sent me an email reminding me it was an Air Force sergeant here in the United States that was taken from a desert base and found later mutilated. And yeah, I remember that story. I sure do. Well, Jeff, man, I think you do great work. I think you're crazy. But I think you do great work.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, it's not, don't let the government or whoever else to inform you what's going on. You know, you go out there and do the investigation also. And if you're seeing these things on a regular basis, take pictures, get a video camera, spread the news, because we need people like you to come forward, you know, and say, yes, I did see something, and it wasn't a balloon, it wasn't a flare, it was something else I've never seen before, and we need more testimonies to get the message out.
Yeah. And, you know, if I think if we're waiting for some official source to come out and tell us and then explain it all to us, I don't think that's going to happen. And I,
right.
The reason I don't is because I don't think they know what to say about it.
Right. They're pretty much, I mean, they've been watching it a lot longer, you know, than we have. And I'm sure that they know a lot more than we do. But even still, I don't believe that they know exactly when it's going to happen. I don't believe that they know exactly what is going to happen when it does, you know. So I think we're all in the dark here. I just wish we could all come together and join forces on this, you know, to find out, you know, what is happening in our skies.
One of the reasons that won't happen is because they are confiscating vast, 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 vast trillions of dollars from the people and telling them we need this for the purpose of keeping you safe. And these things quite obviously elude and any of the air defenses. They quite obviously come and go whenever they want to. And so, you know, it's kind of hard when they've taken trillions of dollars out of your pocket to come to you and say, well, you know, we can't really do what we're charging you for here. I don't think they're ever going to come forward.
No, even when it goes down, they're still not going to admit it.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Jeff, tell us very quickly your website again.
Well, it's called petroglyphsinthesky.com, and you can find me on the website. Just search my name, Jeff Woolwine, W-O-O-L-W-I-N-E. I have a webpage out there, a YouTube page called Petroglyphs in the Sky also. You can find all new videos I publish up there. So,
all right.
Kevin, it's been an honor being here and discussing this topic.
Well, Jeff, it's always interesting when you're with us. And if you will, just stay on the line with me for just a moment. I want to talk with you after the show. Folks, as always, when the guest supplies us with their web address beforehand, we link their picture to it on our website. And, of course, Jeff always does. So you can click his picture, and if you can't remember or if you don't know how to spell petroglyphs, just click his picture on my website. It will take you over there. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.